Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season. What a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season. Go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season. Ha 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 ha.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to Bit Season, episode 132. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez. Hope everyone enjoyed Juneteenth and the holiday this week. It was a big discussion on today's show, believe it or not.
I think we're all for more holidays.
I love holidays.
Nothing wrong with that. I'll even take them in the middle of the week, and I think EB's onto something. The midweek holiday or day off, it's rejuvenating. Fires you up.
It is nice, and I said this on air. I am not going to be upset with another holiday. But I do, unlike Eric and unlike you, I think I prefer them on a Monday or a Friday, even a Thursday maybe.
I think I'll take any holiday that they want to give us. But it was just a nice change of pace there, because Monday was like a Thursday. And now we're back on Thursday again.
And I said this on air. It does feel like the midweek day off, the Wednesday day off, it does make the week go by quicker.
What do you think about Eric? You know, he's really been challenging these people that work at home recently. And he's taking shots at them, saying they don't do anything. All they do is drive on the beltway, run errands all day long. He's getting pushback for it. A lot of people are offended by it. Now, look, there's one way to look at it and say, well, these people are just worried that the secret's out. Right. We all know that you're not really doing anything and you want to pretend you keep working hard and that you have us all fooled. But then there are a lot of other people who are grinding every day and waking up and putting their 8 hours in and not taking breaks, not going to Costco in the middle of the day.
I think that it depends on the type of person you are. I think there are people who have a very demanding job. And they are glued. They're glued to their computer in their home office, and they're taking meetings and they're taking calls throughout the day. And I think they work hard. But I will say, I'm kind of with Eric that I feel like the majority of people have kind of found a loophole. Meaning, this is just me talking.
Mm-hmm.
That at the end of the day, you probably can do your entire day's worth of work in about 3-4 hours. If you budget your time accordingly, you can do a lot of your work in a minimum time frame.
So why?
And I think that's what a lot of people are fearful can catch on, is the fact that you have work that's dumped on your desk. And if you space it out enough, if you work hard enough, you can get it done in a handful of hours.
We talk a lot about jealousy on this show. Now, look, it's not probably coming from Eric's perspective of being jealous, but aren't a lot of in-office workers just jealous of the guys at home that they figured out a way to get the same productivity, but do it in fewer hours and live a better life? I mean, we shouldn't be hating on that necessarily.
I'm not hating on it, but I think that it should be it's a huge quality of life notch under their belt if they're able to do that.
I think the most challenging part of it is I hate being in my house. Like that would drive me insane. I obviously like my house. I like my family. I get cooped up in a house.
No. This is the jealousy. This is the jealousy.
Right.
The jealousy isn't, I guess, managing your time better or mm-hmm. whatever it is. The jealousy comes from cost of gas. The commute itself can be just taxing and tiring. Also, like for us, parking, we got to pay for parking. I think it's a lot of hidden costs.
All that,
that people don't understand.
I think all that is a detriment. Of course, you know, nobody wants to sit in traffic, but our rides in are pretty good. Rides home are pretty good. Parking, okay, whatever. I'm not going to worry about that too much. but the lack of socialization would drive me insane. Not be able to socialize with like-minded people, getting away, getting a breather from your kids, or just a change of scenery every day. I think that is so important. And so for some people, it's not, and some people don't need it. I would desperately crave that. That's why I love in my house running the errands and doing stuff, because I feel like, I don't know, I'm missing out on the world if I'm in my house too much.
You feel secluded.
I feel too secluded. I'm missing out on what everyone else. I'm missing the sun. I'm missing the people bebopping, scatting all around. I like to people watch. All those things are important.
Yeah, you like being a busy bee. The great thing for us is that we never got a taste of it. Right. We were always coming in. We never got any of that work from home stuff or remote working or whatever you want to call it. So we have no idea how great it is or how awful it is. If we like it or if we hate it.
Yeah. I think even with, you know, say if my kids were at preschool and my wife was there and I'm home alone, I would get so bored. I guess if you're working and you're doing your projects you're working on, you're kind of focused on it and yeah. You would adapt to it. I would just feel like world is spinning.
No,
the world is moving.
Yeah.
And I'm not existing. Still? And I'm not existing.
No, it's this is you have FOMO. You have a little bit of FOMO because you don't feel a part of something.
Yeah. What community are you in?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm, yeah. For me, that is uber important. I think you're more of a remote worker guy than me.
Why do you say that?
Just your personality is more independent than mine.
I could see that. You know what? You're right. I am a little more independent than you. You say that because I go seclude myself mm-hmm. in the studio over there.
I'm not saying you don't have friends and do all that stuff, but you.
I know when the show ends, mm-hmm. I sprint to go do my work, and I seclude myself so that I don't get distracted and I can get everything done, and then I think I work better that way.
I like to play a little grab ass.
Yeah.
You're a little bit.
You're like Lumberg. What is his name? You're like checking in on everyone's cubicle. That's mm-hmm. more you. Me, on the other hand, I like to lock in, put on headphones, stare at the computer, try to get as much done in as little time as possible.
Eric is getting pushback, and the last time he mentioned it, look, I think of all, EB can't, the junkies can't give people a hard time about not working enough.
Yeah, that is true.
It has to come from somebody else.
That is a very fair point. I heard someone call in today, and you were chatting with them about how lucky the guys have it or something like that, mm-hmm. about how they only work 4 hours a day. Jason, by the way, it says it's more like 3 hours because of commercials. That's a wild one. That's a first.
They should less highlight that.
Yeah.
Well, people,
Jason probably counts every word he says.
There are a lot of radio hosts who are working 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
Right. There's no secret. The junkies have more chemistry. They are not studying the nuts and bolts of everything, being super detailed. But take a guys like, say, Grant and Danny, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their bread and butter is knowledge and being super informed. Also, obviously, Danny and Grant, funny guys and great chemistry, but you can learn a lot, probably listening to Grant and Danny. Those guys are going home, watching every game, reading
every pitch,
every article. So well informed.
It wouldn't surprise me if they take notes while watching a game.
100%. So, you know, it's not just when people say, oh, what other job do you got? You know, people don't understand the majority of the time, the days are long for a radio host. You should be waking up prepping throughout mm-hmm. the day of prepping.
I do get offended. I wonder if you're the same way. I get offended like when you're out or you're talking to your neighbors mm-hmm. or something like that, and they ask what you do and they figure out what you do and everything, and they go, you know what, I've always thought about starting a podcast. Drive just had a booger coming out of his nose. But every time I hear that, I don't physically roll my eyes in front of them, but I do.
What's wrong with podcasts? You're on one right now.
Nothing's wrong with podcasts, But to just think that just because you like something or you and your buddies have a good rapport doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have a podcast that's going to be a hit.
Well, I think what you got to keep in mind, and I'm sure as a Junkies listener, sometimes you guys get frustrated, like, oh, why'd they do that segment, or that guest, or why they don't spend more time. The goal is there's two goals. You got to broadcast to the masses, right? That's mm-hmm. why we talk so much, man. We've gone over that before. But you also want, you're not going to like everything we do. It's impossible. We do 12 segments a show. Some people, I can't tell you, almost 50-50 on everything that we do for feedback. I hated that segment. Next person on the text machine, best segment ever. Love that segment. So glad you guys are talking
about the Nats. The Nats never get enough coverage.
Not even the Nats. Yeah. So glad you guys had pickleball guests in studio. That was awesome. Next text. Oh my God, can't believe you guys did a pickleball segment. What a waste. You guys are so lazy.
Why do you? Why are you feeling the need to defend our topics?
No, we're not. Because I put together the show outline for the most part, so
it's like your child.
I'm invested in it. Yeah. Sorry, I'm invested. Everybody has input. Yeah, everybody does it, but
it's your baby. It's our baby.
We also are trying always to, find lightning or anything, but like you have to throw things out there to see what hits.
You got to throw crap at the wall, see what
sometimes you're just throwing crap. And some of the best Junkie segments, your favorite segment was probably something so irrelevant, so stupid,
something unplanned
or something. Why would they talk about that? Sometimes they're not great, sometimes they're a lot of fun. So you just really never know where it could go. But I think the original point was going back into how much work are people putting in during the day.
How hard everyone works.
Speaking of throwing crap against the wall, right now in our studio on, I don't know what channel this is, they are sumo wrestling. Valdez and I are working on getting sumo wrestlers in studio for next Friday. I hope it happens. There is an event coming to DC called Sumo and Sushi. It actually looks pretty awesome. I keep seeing these Instagram ads. I'm like, dude, we got to get these guys in studio. We got to get a couple of these big sillies in their thongs, wrestling Valdez or something in studio. I hit them up on their email through their company website. I've been DMing them on Instagram here and a little bit back and forth. I think that could be a lot of fun. It might be a bust. It probably won't happen. But next weekend, there's sumo wrestling in D.C. I think at the D.C. Armory. These events look pretty. It's got cool lighting. It's a very cool looking thing. And then you sit courtside watching the event.
Ringside
eating sushi.
You know what? If we get them in studio, mm-hmm. I will put on the sumo thong. All right, mm-hmm. And then I will wrestle one of them.
I'm gonna need that from you. All right, you're closest in size to the sumos.
I'm well aware.
Now look, if Awad was here, he'd be that guy.
That's no. If Awad here, I actually think I could pin one.
Do that? I don't know if they even. I don't think they pin in sumo.
You just
push them out of the circle.
You just got to get leverage. Yeah. It's all about leverage.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if I don't know if I'd be able to do it because I have an injury.
All right, is that going back to you last week talking about your obesity?
It might be gout. I don't know, but I have something on my foot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's not gout. I know it's not gout, but I have this big ball on my foot, and I felt awful today because you know how we've been talking about professionalism in the office, mm-hmm. and wearing shorts versus wearing pants and all that nonsense.
Yeah, but, you're wearing shorts again today.
I am wearing shorts, but I am also wearing another unprofessional clothing item. I'm wearing flip-flops. I don't know if you've noticed that today or not.
I was not paying attention to your footwear, but that is a very summery outfit than you got on. You have an American flag shirt on, too. I mean, you are just in full coasting July mode right now.
I'm ready for the fourth. But here, see if I can put this up here.
All right, you're putting your Sperry's up on the table here, your thong sandals.
But look at that on my foot. You see that?
Right. Oh, the bump there?
Yeah, that bump.
It looks like a second ankle.
It's about the size of a bottle cap.
Is that a bone? What is that?
It's a ganglion cyst. So my self-diagnosis, I looked
gangrene, is that your term or an official term?
That's an official WebMD term. I googled a bump on my foot and where it was and everything, and that's what it told me, is that it's a ganglion cyst, and I can barely move around. I've been limping around all day. I think I may have got it at the Purple Heart, but I thought
you've complained about a bump on your foot before.
I've tweeted about it, and I went back and I went to go through some of those tweets, and some people confirmed it's a ganglion cyst. I need to figure out how to get rid of it.
Forms when there's a small tear in the sleeve of thin tissue that covers a joint or tendon. The tissue bulges and forms a sac.
I got a big old sack on my foot.
You got to pop it. You got to go to the dermatologist.
Yeah, no, but it's like a bone. Here, feel it. I want you to.
I'll be honest. That will gross me out. I don't do cysts. I don't touch cysts.
It's not like a sack of fluid. It feels like a bone. Feel it. Feel it.
Ooh, that does feel. That does,
right.
Maybe it is a bone. That's too hard to be a cyst.
Then why do I have one there and not on the other foot?
I don't know.
It's not like
is that where the pain is coming from?
Yes, excruciating pain.
What's going on with your body?
I don't know.
You're 36.
I don't know. It's breaking down.
Why are you?
I'm breaking down.
You are breaking down.
You know what I feel like?
Your lower extremities are nubs. I don't know how else to say it.
I'm breaking down. I feel like. This might be obscure, but remember the movie Van Wilder?
I mean, I've seen it. I don't remember.
They had some dude whose name was Sick Boy because he was always sick, never went to class, busted immune system. That's what I feel like.
Well, why don't you start taking, better care of yourself?
I am taking care of myself.
Are you? Because last week on the show, you're doing this woe is me, BMI, I'm off the charts. And then I see you Tuesday night posting videos or pictures of you slamming milkshakes down. What's going on?
I can't have a milkshake?
Do you want it both ways?
What, am I going to eat wheatgrass for the every day?
No, but I mean...
You think a milkshake is causing my body to break down?
Well, I think you're not fat. You have a lot of.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
But you have a lot of mass to your body.
I know
you
have a lot
too
of
much mass. You need to lose some. I don't know muscle, or you need to lose about body weight. All right.
Okay.
You just need to lean. You need to lean out.
My joints can't take it. They can't take the pounding.
Yes, your body can't handle it. Some bodies can. Bodies are built to last, like mine. All right, I have zero joint pain. I'm 5 years older than you. I feel the same way today as I did when I was 21.
I don't have joint pain.
What do you mean? Your knees. You were crying about your knees. You guy came in here with your gigantic brace for 2 months.
I had a tear in my knee from working out.
You got tears in your knees. You got tears in the tendons in your foot. These aren't just circumstances. They're just random acts that are happening to your body. It's telling you something.
And I'm not listening.
You're not listening.
What's it telling me?
It's telling you to you're too hard. Your body. They can't hold it. It's too much weight, I think. You can't support. Your frame can't support it. Your bones aren't strong enough or something's going on.
So what do I need? I need Ozempic.
No, you're doing. I'm not saying a fat thing. You're not fat. You're not.
No. But if I have mass, and if I'm trying to get rid of mass,
you need to stop. I don't know. Stop lifting so much. Stop trying to break records.
I don't. I don't anymore. I lift little girly drab weights now.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe do them more often. How often are you working out?
Well, I didn't work out last week.
All right. Well, so no workouts last week. You're pounding milkshakes. You had probably some beers at the Purple Heart.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's not a fluke. All right. So, how, on a scale of 1 to 10, that cyst there, how bad does that hurt?
It's like if you're running and you kind of tweak your ankle. That's kind of what it feels like.
So it'll very gender.
It'll be gone in a couple days, but I was just.
You just go to the.
I just felt bad. I just felt bad because I was wearing my sandals and everything. So,
You self conscious? You keep bringing this up. Did I make you self conscious about your office attire?
Yes,
you know, you did. I was just doing. I was just having fun, throwing crap against the wall. Speaking of which, I was just spouting off.
No, because you know,
I really don't think anything of it when you wear shorts.
No, it stuck with me when you criticized my office attire.
And I said the half day comment.
Previously, you've done it before in the past. This is a common occurrence that you do, is that you constantly you constantly critique my office attire, and that, so much so that I've stopped wearing like track pants and basketball shorts. Mm-hmm. You brought that up numerous times.
Yeah, I brought that up and you denied it. I didn't think you.
And then I haven't worn basketball shorts in years because this is something that you brought up years ago.
Well,
and now that I've changed my office attire to the point where I wear khaki shorts, now khaki shorts are not good enough for drag.
Well, hey, look, I don't want to burst your Gengalian cyst here, but I don't care that much what you're wearing. Most of the time, I'm just having fun, or we already know everything about each other. I know what you're going to say. You know what I'm going to say before I say it. So I'm just looking for some nuance in our relationship, things to poke at that are a little bit different.
You want to try out some new positions?
Yeah, I'm working material on you, I guess. I didn't really know it was getting to you. I will stop commenting on your.
I didn't know that was material.
Well, I mean, just things. I'm looking for conversation pieces. Gotcha. You know, I mean, what are we going to talk about? The Orioles every day behind the glass?
No,
I come in. I see. Yeah, I know. Oh, Valdez, you're wearing some flip flops today. What's going on? Yeah. I know. You know.
That's all right. Okay. Hey, speaking of summer, I wanted to bring up a. An article that I read in the New York Post, and we were speaking of shorts and everything, but the New York Post has dedicated 2024 summer as the thigh guy summer, where the trend is now that when you do wear shorts, you are wearing some of the shortest shorts known to man, that this is becoming hot with the youth. I noticed it at the Purple Heart when Mar was wearing his short shorts.
They were very short.
I mean, they were even shorter than mine, and I thought I was wearing short shorts and being trendy. But, I mean, these things are classic nut huggers, and I can't believe nut huggers are in 2024.
Stockton shorts.
Yes, but for exactly.
Anything that you're wearing has got to be very high up on the leg here. I am so glad I'm old. Now, look, you got to find the fine line. You can't be cakes, right? You can't be so punched out on fashion that you have no idea what's going on. You're wearing clothes from 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
The thing is with cakes is he looks cool because he's like a clock's right twice a day.
I think
fashion so cyclical that cakes wears the same thing and it comes back around?
I think you have to be age appropriate in the things you wear, right? And that goes for males and females. Like, I'm so glad I'm not a Gen Zer because I look at their fashion and none of it appeals to me. And I'm like, I'm so glad I don't have to chase that trend, right? But you can still dress fashionable for your age and have a tailored look to a degree. I don't want to wear short shorts. I don't want to wear normal socks, as they say. I like my no-show socks or the quarter socks.
I can't believe like high socks are coming back. I saw a reel or TikTok about saying how to spot a millennial, and they look at the socks. They said old man millennials are wearing ankle socks. All the Gen Zers have high socks.
Now look, it is cyclical, but
not ankle socks, no show socks. Mm-hmm. I guess you could call them.
Yeah, and it's not going to be long before. And some of it already is. A lot of the 90s fashion comes back in. But like back in the 70s, right? Like my dad, when he was young man, was wearing short shorts. These disgusting short shorts, hairy legs, everybody knows. And I would see pictures of him and I'd be like, why did you ever wear that, right? And you don't understand that that's what everyone
was
wearing,
hot.
Right? Or bell bottoms or whatever they wore back in the 70s a lot of the times.
I know, my dad
But if you wore shorts like that in the 90s... you would be called a slur, right? You would have, people wouldn't have done it. And now it's sexy and hot again.
So we're going to be maybe within 10 years, maybe, that the long the long jean shorts or the long shorts that come down to like mid calf.
I'm excited for that day. I'm excited for the day when Allen Iverson's fashion comes back. You know, like just extremely baggy clothes.
Who's the dude that was on St. Bonaventure who had the basketball shorts that came down here? Yeah.
I know the picture.
But. Yes, but that's what's coming back next. Mm-hmm.
But I will. I am a quarter sock or low sock guy till I die. I'm not going to chase it.
I'm not chasing the high sock.
Yeah, and short shorts. I see them now. I just won't wear five inches.
I need bigger than 5 inches.
You were wearing some relatively short ones recently.
Yeah, though. I wore them at the Purple Heart. Those were 7.5s. I felt comfortable in them, and plus, to be honest with you, I kind of like my thighs. So it felt good. It felt good showing them off.
I think Cakes needs a tailor.
I know we've said that a billion.
No. Like he, not a habit. Like he has to get his clothes tailored.
Yes, they need to be like sewn.
So on Monday,
taken in.
Like, on Monday, Cakes was wearing his new outfit from Golfdom. Right. The problem with Cakes, God bless him, and I'm not being mean, but he's too stocky.
His body, he has a weird body.
His waist is too wide and he's too short. So he's wearing, I would guess, I don't know, 38 waist. I'm taking a guess here. A 38 waist. But those shorts are made when you have a 38 waist for guys that are 6'4". And so his shorts are so, it doesn't matter what shorts he buys. They are so long on him. And
I know,
so
but these are better than what it used to be.
Not really. No. I mean, they're just newer, but they're still past his knees. They were past his knees.
They're better than what they used to be.
And they're so wide.
They could be so wide. I know, and he has no ass to fill them out. I know.
It's frustrating. I would be very frustrated.
No, my whole thing is, and I've said this before, is that Cakes doesn't understand inseam.
I know, but he doesn't have any options, really. He doesn't have a lot of options. I mean, I guess he could try to buy the 5-inch inseam shorts with a 38-inch waist, but it's just going to look so
ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that he's helpless unless he's getting every piece perfectly tailored and hemmed or whatever you want to call it.
That's got to be a pain in the ass.
It'd be a pain in the ass. That's expensive. He's just not going to do that.
He needs to find a personal tailor that has all of his measurements ready to go.
I didn't think that Cakes looked that much greater. Speaking of the Purple Heart, did you have a good time on Monday?
I did.
With Michael Marr being added to the group?
I did. I enjoyed his addition to the group. It's not stressful for me. It's hard to describe because everyone knows that I love golf. And so what I try to do is I try to cater the day to everyone. It's not about me. It's not about my shots. It's about the group, and it's about trying to grow the game.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make you have fun. I'm trying to make the group have fun. Okay. It sounds stupid, doesn't it? But that's my whole goal is to make you come back, is to make you look forward to it. Maybe we'll do another par 3 day like we did the week before.
I'm a big par 3 course guy now.
I know.
I might be all in on the 9-hole par 3s, hour and a half. I don't think it would cost very much money. I might be all in on par 3s. You get a good little walk out there, get some sun, hit some balls.
Have some locker room talk.
Yeah,
and I will say, Mars' contribution to the group was locker room talk.
Mar surprised me. The out of office Mar is kind of a different guy. He is that party guy.
He is.
You know, keep the vibes going.
And you know what it made me realize too is that because heading into it, I thought Mar would be a decent stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he was worse than I thought he would be. And this isn't a knock against Mar, but like it sounded like he plays a lot. Right. And especially if his mom works at a golf course, it's kind of in. I thought
he'd have a quicker swing speed is what I thought.
I thought it would be a more athletic swing. Okay. I expected more just off of what I was told. But then I realized Mar's not playing golf to play golf. Mars playing golf to be with the boys for 4 hours or 5 hours. Mars' objective is to ingest as much nicotine, alcohol, and vibes as possible.
What I like about Mars is that he doesn't make us feel old. He's not judging us because clearly we're way older than him. I mean, Valdez is 10, probably I'm 15, Cakes, who God knows what, right? But he just makes you feel like you're one of the boys.
Yes, he does.
He does a great job at that, no judging, and he's a cool cat.
He's very inclusive with his vibes and his high fives.
Mm-hmm. So I, sorry, Cowboy Todd, but if Mar's still around a year from now and all of us are still around, he'll probably be back in that foursome, and you're on the back burner. We love having you, but he's on the show, so
yes, that's what I said.
He gets a right of first refusal.
Sounds like he's
all in. All right, let's take a quick break, Valdez. There's a lot we can get into. I didn't even talk about on the show today how Roger, the engineer,
yeah, you and Roger were hanging out.
Roger came to my house. I can tell you about that.
Also, we need to talk about Kelsey's, I guess, first call in. Mm-hmm. With the show. I wanted to get your take on that and the guys talking to her and kind of her viral moment on the Daily Mail. So we'll do all that when we get back.
All right. Stick around.
Welcome back to Bit Season, episode 132. We got to let you know that today's episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Don't Sleep supports me, supports Drabby, supports AWOD, supports the Junks. Get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com and use that promo code BITSEASON for 10% off every order, not just your first, every order. Follow and like on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy. Speaking of social media, we had social media star or starlet Kelsey Flame on the show calling in at 9:45 to talk about her viral TikTok that she did a little over a month ago. Where she itemizes how much she makes versus how much she spends. And then the Daily Mail picked it up. I don't know. Is it
to Daily Mail was late to the party. What happened was on Tuesday night, Wall Street Silver tweeted it out. Now, look, she put that up, as she said on the show today, in early May. So it had been out there for a long time. And finally,
someone stumbled upon it and figured they could use it for some engagement farming.
Right. That's exactly what it was. And then once that got a couple million hits because I think they have over a million followers, and then it was shared around.
What does Wall Street Silver specialize in? Is it?
I think Wall Street chatter.
Okay.
Stocks. I don't know.
Okay. It's a stonk thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then since this has to do with money and finances, they posted that, and then they
said something like, "I wonder what she does for a living." In the tweet.
Okay.
Right.
Because. The TikTok or reel where she's itemizing everything.
She doesn't say
specifically what she does.
Correct.
It doesn't even allude to it.
Correct. And then it went viral. There were a ton of comments on it. And then on Wednesday, Daily Mail wrote a story about it. And MSN wrote a story about it. Also, a side note, so annoying that what passes for news nowadays is just annoying.
This is trendy on blank.
They're just people just take things that are on social media and repurpose it and use and just write stories for it.
I know.
So their own website gets clicks.
I know. There's no original reporting. There's no reporting. This is the extent of reporting. It's people are mad at Ben Affleck. And then all they do is they take three tweets, they put them up there and say, man, people are mad at him. That's what reporting is nowadays.
So,
but anyways, yeah.
So it goes mini viral again. And awesome, you know, awesome for Kelsey getting more followers. But, you know, a lot of the comments were really mean about her and not unexpected in this day and age that we live in. People were basically slut shaming her, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, she said on air that people basically said she does OnlyFans or escorts to earn that money,
and or sugar daddy.
What was the phrase she used on air today that really clicked?
Loser energy.
Loser energy.
She said that was some loser energy.
I like that phrase, loser energy.
Mm-hmm.
The internet, you know what it does? It just goes to show just how sucky the internet can be. I'm not saying everyone needs to be nice and kumbaya and everything, and everyone agrees on everything, but it's just these accounts just lead the witness to think the most impractical things about people and stuff like that. And it's just sucky.
Here's the original tweet from Wall Street Silver. A 23-year-old living in Los Angeles, her income and budget for April. Something odd jumped out at me about her numbers. How many 23-year-olds earn that kind of money? What is the career? Now, look, I guess that's fair if you're just throwing that out there. What is the career? Because a lot of people, a lot of females on social media that are viral and are, you know, pretty girls, have OnlyFans, and that's, they're the ones driving the Lamborghinis. They have the link tree up at the top of their bio. And
your Amazon wish list.
Yeah. I mean, There's endless women that have OnlyFans. So, I mean, that is a reason. I guess it's a reasonable conclusion if you're just throwing the scenarios out there.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
The type of person that Kelsey is that we know she is.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Do you think Kelsey is flattered that they?
I'm sure. Yeah.
That they assume that she's in some sort of.
Hey, look! If there was a viral video of me, anyone goes, "Oh, this guy's here at OnlyFans. He's so hot." Of course,
I know. I'd be fist bumping.
Yeah, that's in a strange way. That is kind of a compliment. So
I was very stunned, and you kind of alluded to this towards the end of her call, that she would be willing to kind of put her business out there. I know if I was making what she was making, I wouldn't do that. I would be afraid of people kind of in your pocket.
Pocket watching.
Maybe they're a little more hesitant to split a check with me if I was in that scenario.
Oh, so you think that if people, well, people already know. I mean, people are going to, they may not know the exact number, but people are going to know you're well off. I don't think there would be any expectation. If we go to lunch with the junkies, right, we go to Potbelly, I'm not expecting them to buy my sandwiches because they make more money than us.
But some people think
right.
that.
Well, I would hope those people wouldn't be in your inner circle. So I put on the rundown yesterday afternoon and I sent it over. And I know JP's not here, but this is going viral and I think we should discuss it. Mm-hmm. And JP was on the email, of course. And so then JP tweeted, texted Kelsey and I together last night and set it up and says, "Let Drab know if you want to weigh in. I told you all along that this should be all private, connecting you two because giving Kelsey a chance to come on to explain her transparency. Also, if you do not want them to discuss it, let us know." But props to Kelsey who came and said, "No, I'd love to come on." And
I thought her call was really good.
And she was good.
She had a couple pot shots at JP.
I know. I told Valdez she gets her a funny gene from her mom.
That's funny.
So props to her, and hopefully, I actually kind of want to see more of these videos from her. Now that we got a sneak peek into her spending, she should do another one, a follow up.
What did you make of the spending? Do you think it's fiscally responsible? Do you think that there's some things that she should splurge on? Do you think there's some things?
Well, I think she's already, we're talking about it. I think she's already splurging on some things. Look, she did. What I'm impressed by is that first off, her rent is, I think, pretty reasonable for Los Angeles and for a person making that kind of money. She's not blowing 10 grand a month on rent. Right, it was like $2,500 or something like that. I'm not sure if she has a roommate or not, but nice place. The massage is important to her. I was kind of intrigued by this no drinking.
Yeah, you know,
23-year-old Los Angeles that, goes out but doesn't drink.
Yeah, so what do you do when you go out? I don't. I would be.
She just hangs out with the girls and dances. And
were you hanging out and swapping stories? You man bashing.
She probably just sits out and hangs out with her friends, drinks mocktails or water, whatever she's into, and she's still part of the team. But you know
what that made me, realize? It made me realize just how much money we are wasting on booze.
How much? Okay, you tell me because I hardly drink. So how much money are you wasting on booze?
I don't know,
take me through your April spending.
My April spending.
Come on, break it down. How much are you spending on booze?
On booze.
How much did that boozy milkshake cost the other day?
It was $15.
Okay.
I didn't, a friend bought it because we had dinner.
Right.
And then he bought it. So that was not mine. But in terms of booze, beer slash wine for the week, I'd probably get a case of beer a week. So I don't know. Probably $100 a week. In terms of going out,
spending $400 a month on booze. That's impossible.
Not a week. A month. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was thinking about
you got a problem. I figured out the problem.
I'm a lush. No, it's about $100. Okay. Yeah, about $100 a month. But what if I was that young and I was making that kind of money, like number one, I wouldn't have the response. I wouldn't be as responsible as her. Number two,
what would you be donking all your money off of?
I don't know. I mean, just
if I was making, I don't know. She said this was a good month for her, but that's about $250,000 a year if you extrapolate that out, right?
Yeah, and especially at the age.
If I was 23 and making or 41, making $250,000 a year outside of housing, I just think I'd have a silly, stupid car. Like a nice car. Now, I'm not talking like a $150,000 car, but I would have a BMW or something like that.
Country club membership.
Yeah,
I would. That would be in that lifestyle. But here's why I would sympathize with her. It's because you're 23 years old. You're making that kind of money, and my guess is there's not a lot of people that are like you at that age. And it's just
in Los Angeles,
in LA. At that age, I mean, it could be a completely different lifestyle out there. There could be so much money that's just being thrown around. Right. But I just can't imagine that people her age are doing that.
Well, I think for the most part, you're gonna hang out with like-minded people. So she probably gravitates to people who have more money to spend or have similar interests that they can afford. You know, so. She's probably like Jason Bishop. She's probably not hanging out with a lot of brokies out there.
Yeah, but your pot of friends and boyfriends is kind of small to pick from. You're in a pool with not that many fish. The lake's not that populated.
It's the second biggest city in the country. There's plenty.
Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I just do it because I'm not around.
I am intrigued by that ex-boyfriend comment that she made about the Lamborghini, right? I literally know nothing, and this is me speculating on someone's who I don't really know dating life, but it was brought up on the show before. EB razzed JP about the guy that she was hanging out with, remember?
Oh, yes,
and going to the games with and in the Lamborghini was the older guy.
Oh.
So in that video, the April video, I might be wrong, but she said that she showed the picture of the Lamborghini for her car payments.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said on the show today, that was my ex-boyfriend. But she told JP that was just an older friend of hers. So now I'm doing the math. I'm putting my detective cap on. Is that was, remember we had that debate, who's that guy? So it turns out, I think that was her boyfriend. Now, she'll probably hear this and tell me I'm an idiot and I got the wrong guy. But that's what I'm thinking now.
That's your speculation. That's you connecting dots.
That she told her dad, JP, that was just a friend, but the older guy that she was hanging out with was her boyfriend at the time.
I don't know. Maybe she knows multiple people with Lamborghinis.
Maybe she's not hanging out with 23-year-olds. Maybe she's hanging out with 35-year-old guys.
Well, I completely understand that because if she's trying to find like-minded and like people that are like her, not necessarily in terms of interests, but financially, you know what I mean? If you're trying to find the same group of people.
I just don't know.
Those are older people.
Was she saying that her generation is transparent with money? I don't know if I buy that. Maybe her and her friends are. And of course, I've seen those reels where people say, oh, what do you do for a living? How much money do you make? I don't think the average 23-year-old is saying, like Mike Marr is telling people how much money he makes, maybe there's a little bit of bragging going on that if you're wealthy.
I would be embarrassed if someone came up to me and asked me how much money I would make. I would say,
why?
Well, I'm just saying that's none of your business. That's just how I how I grew up.
I wouldn't be I would never be embarrassed. I would just uncomfortable, I think, is the right word.
Okay.
Uncomfortable. Yeah, because then you're, I mean, once you find out how much money someone makes, what else is there to know about them? Right? Like,
it's
that
almost
is one
like
of those things that
I would rather
part,
I would rather pose naked. All right.
Mm-hmm.
In like a art class. Be the muse and then mm-hmm. have someone draw you or paint you or anything
right.
like that. I would rather do that than divulge my salary.
Mm. Well, I would definitely disagree with that. Because
I don't know. I just think it's weird. I think money's weird. I have no idea how much my friends
maybe
make.
We're wrong. Maybe and Kelsey's right. Maybe it is their generation's gotten past that for the most part.
And I would never ask anyone how much they
make. Oh, do you think people are going around and saying, how much money do you make?
I don't know. It seems like a common question, doesn't it?
Hmm.
That's the vibe that I got from Kelsey, is that it's kind of common. Almost like, what's your sign?
It's the new, what do you do for work? How much money do you make? They're just getting right to the point.
Yeah.
No more beating around the bush.
No, you're not trying to figure out how much a consultant makes or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
They just flat out ask. There's no shame in it. It's become normalized to do that. When I, on the other hand, find it very probing. I wouldn't expect anyone to tell me how much they make, and I wouldn't expect anyone to ask.
Well,
or ask anyone.
Valdez, one thing you're never going to see from me is on my Instagram reel telling people that I make $21,000 a month. And you know that because I don't make that much money because I had
a handyman come over.
Roger the engineer come over to my house because I didn't want to pay out of pocket for a plumber. Look, great profession, make good money. There's a reason those guys make good money. They are going to bend you over and take you in and just rip you off, basically. I don't care who you call. It's just going to be too expensive. So I put a feeler out there for our resident Mr. Fix-It.
Yeah, our station's Mr. Fix-It.
Roger to come over to my house. If you would have told me, Drab, of all the people who work at the radio station, who would be one of the first people? Have the junkies ever been in my house? No. Has Valdez been in my house? I think once.
Yeah, once or twice.
CK, who I've known for 17 years, never been to my house. Not many people have been to my house, but Roger
is on the short list.
Roger broke down the walls, came over to my house on Tuesday afternoon. We spent a good couple hours together.
Yeah. So, all right. So hold on. So you had Roger come over mm-hmm. in a handyman work capacity, right? You put him to work.
Once EB said you should ask Roger.
What did you need fixing?
My shower, showers, both my showers. Inside the shower, right, there is a cartridge, like a valve type thing, that goes bad. You have to take off the faceplate and you take all the screws out and
so, like,
pull it out.
In the head of the shower?
In the head of the shower where you pull the lever out.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, inside there is a contraption that can go bad.
Okay.
I didn't even know that. Never replaced anything. I don't even know. It's some sort of cartridge.
What is it, like a filter?
No, it's where the hot water and cold water go into. They come through the pipes. They meet in the middle of this thing, and it controls the water that comes out.
All right. All right?
Hot or the cold or the mix.
Okay.
And so... So
that went bad, and you needed those fixed in your house in two of your showers.
But I didn't really know what I'm doing.
Did Roger know about the cartridge?
Oh, immediately, yeah.
Oh,
immediately. He knew exactly what was wrong.
Also, Roger is a low-key great handyman because he owns properties, too. So he's a slumlord. So obviously he needs to go fix some of the things at his property, and he, the frugal man he isn't going to hire someone to do that.
And as you learned on the show, Roger doesn't waste his time watching TV shows. All he does all day long is tinker with stuff. He's just a fantastic mind in that way, and he knows he's a guy who knows how to fix things. Turns out though we couldn't get it completely done.
Oh.
Which was actually good.
It's a multiple day job.
I gotta pay Roger. I haven't paid him yet. But the job is incomplete. He came over. We took everything apart in both my showers, removed the cartridges. You know what was embarrassing? The most embarrassing part.
Hold on. I'm going to guess.
All right.
You didn't have the tools for the job.
No, I had a bucket of tools, but Roger came with his bag, too.
Okay.
Roger was the one who got the screw undone. It was so tight. 70-year-old Roger.
He's 70?
Well, I don't know, 68, 65, somewhere around there. Okay. I don't know his exact age. The screw was so tight.
The thing was like rusted and stripped.
And it was just, when it was put on, it was just, there's four screws and they were all so tight. And I'm cranking this thing all the way to the left. It's not budging an inch. Roger tried, and then I tried, and then, but it was finally Roger, the old man Roger, who got that screw. Hey,
you know what they say about that kind of strength?
Yeah, yeah, he's got that. He's got those strong. You got that strong grip.
Yeah.
And so that was a little emasculating. Than an elderly gentleman. I think he just knew how he knew the leverage on this kind of thing.
Oh, okay, yeah,
that's what I'm thinking about.
The physics behind it.
The physics behind it. Yeah, it was a physics issue, not a strength issue.
Okay.
Then we got him off. We went to Home Depot together, just Roger and me. Roger had the biggest Slurpee I've ever seen. Cherry red Slurpee, like a child. Hey, it had big, long straw.
Why'd you treat him like your kid? Hey, Roger, we're going to stop at 7-Eleven on the way to Home Depot.
No, it was sitting in his car. He left it in his car. Oh, he stopped off at 7-Eleven on the way out to my house.
And he drove you.
He drove me to see, because he parked in my driveway.
Uh-huh.
It's longest straw.
Hey, what did his car smell like?
Smelled clean, smelled
okay,
new.
Okay.
I mean, there were some tools in there and stuff, but it wasn't gross or anything like that.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
When he went into Home Depot, after he assessed what the problem was, you guys went to Home Depot together,
mm-hmm.
did he know exactly what aisle to go down to go get said parts?
I led the way.
Oh.
I led the way. I mean, there's a big sign that says plumbing. Oh. I go, Roger is probably going to be in this aisle.
Oh.
And then we went there.
After Drab gets his man card taken away, he has to show Roger.
Escort Roger through Home Depot. They didn't have the part. I didn't really think they were going to have it because I looked online first, but we wanted to take a chance, spoke to somebody. Here was the best part. That part is like $60. Yeah. And I need two of them.
Oh.
And the guy at Home Depot goes, no, we don't have this one. We have the older version. Are you the original homeowner? And I go, yeah. And he goes, great. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to call Kohler when you get home. Tell me you're going to register with them. Tell me you're the original homeowner. They're going to send you those for absolutely free. That part is lifetime guaranteed. He goes, unless you really need it today, you can go down to this plumbing store and pay out of your ass for this thing. But I don't recommend that. Let that thing drip for a while and have them send it to you for free. Hey, sure enough, that's what I did. Went home. Roger left.
Did you feel manly?
Not really. Not yet. No, because also I had to put some pieces back together after Roger left. And so I brought the parts into the station today for Roger
to fix it.
To see if they were, the screw was stripped. He's like, no, it looks good. Just,
you have a good Roger impression.
Go home and, you got to play, tinker with it some more. You'll get it.
Tinker.
Yeah. So that's where we're at. But, dude, my girls, the twins, Blake and Tinsley, love Roger. Roger's great with kids.
Do you know you Uncle Roger?
No, we didn't make it to Uncle Roger yet. There's Uncle Awad or Uncle Adam. They know, they call him that. Anybody else, friends, uncles? They always say, where's Adam? But they were enthralled. Roger's great with kids.
What was Roger doing to keep their attention?
He just always said that. Hi. You did a little finger wave with them. Yeah. And I don't know. He kind of talks like a baby. And so I think they were vibing together a little bit. And so then the whole next day, Daddy, where's your friend?
Where's Roger?
Where's Roger? Where's Roger coming over? Is Roger coming?
Where's Roger?
Yeah, wow. Where's Roger? They were big fans of Roger.
Hey, do you think Roger...
Following us all around, up all the stairs, in the bathroom with us, watching Roger.
Do you think Roger would babysit your kids?
I don't...
Would you want Roger to babysit your kids?
He'd probably be pretty good. He'd know what to do.
Throw on Godzilla.
Yeah, they'd be entertained. If Roger wants to come over to my house, fix up my house, have the kids follow him around anytime, I'm all about it. So we told him I'd pay him $100. I haven't paid him yet. Stiffen him. Job's not done.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to do it upon completion.
So he might be coming back over once the parts come in.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
I know. You sent me the picture.
Hey, you should hire working. Roger. Do stuff around your place. Whatever you need done.
You did
change
send
your
picture.
Oil.
Yeah. You know what? That's a great idea. Dude, oil changes are expensive.
I know.
He'll have you. You know what? I bet you could start your car up and he could fix something for you.
100%. You need a Roger in your life.
I was going to say, is Roger an untapped resource around here?
100%. We have not been utilizing him. I mean, we utilize him to fix the microphones and we, you know, funny segments.
Do you feel obligated to engage in his small talk more?
No, I don't think Roger knows what's going on, whether we walk away or engage. But there was a lot of small talk the other day.
How did you understand him?
Because if people don't know, I didn't understand half of what he was saying.
He mumbles and rambles.
Yeah.
I've never seen a combination
context
of
clues. What he's pointing at or what, you know, it was mostly shower talk. It was a lot of plumbing talk. So, but it was good. It was a good time. I took some pictures of Roger fixing stuff for Matt. You get a kick out of it.
Did you take a picture together? Hey, Roger, let's hold up some wrenches.
Nah, I should
take a picture together.
Nah, I should have. Next time.
Do you think if there was a big project, Roger could do it? Or is he just more of a tiny project?
No, I think Roger could remodel a house, probably. He could do
it
all.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's impressive. That's very impressive.
So, yeah, invite him over.
Hey, you should tweet out the picture of Roger.
I will. I'll tweet it from the BitSeason account.
Okay, and then get his permission first. Say, hey, Roger.
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. Good point.
Oh, and before we go, make sure you're hitting us up on Cameo. Book your Cameo for what's coming up next? 4th of July?
4th of July. Nothing says Uncle Sam like Matt and Drabby doing some 4th of July shtick, doing some Revolutionary War shtick.
You know what? We'll put on our red, white, and blue outfits, whatever you want.
Drabs has an Uncle Sam hat he's going
to
wear.
Valdez and I are big on to 4th of July. So search on Cameo, Junkies Producers. And, I guarantee you it's worth it. We have a good time with those. We put in a good effort. So you won't be disappointed.
Definitely.
All right. Later, guys.